Then.
And this is the Ramen Roundup show. And we've one of the over the last two seasons of doing the show, the one guest, especially Mr. Adam Silver from Redbridge Football Club, has always said to me, there's one area, one guest, shall we say, that we need to get onto the show. And it was somebody from Football Web Pages. And we're lucky enough to have Gary with us tonight. So we'll switch Gary in and have a chat with Gary. Hello, Gary.
Hi, David. How you doing?
I'm not too bad, sir. Yourself?
Yes, very well. Thanks, very well.
Thank you very much for coming on tonight. I do appreciate it immensely, to say the least, because I know a lot of people have been asking to get somebody on from Football Web Pages, because I know it's something that the Ryman League use quite a lot. And indeed, I know it's what I follow on your app and so forth. But when, how did you first get involved in Football Web Pages yourself?
I actually launched the site long time ago, 2001, I think it was. It was originally only really to provide stuff like league tables. I'm a Kingstonian fan, and I was running the Kingstonian website, and it was just a nightmare keeping the league table up to date. And I thought, I'll try and provide a service that allows other people to, include a league table so they don't have to maintain it themselves. And it's just kind of gone from there.
I mean, it's something that we've been using on the show. One part of it we've been using on the show since almost, I think it was about sort of 2 or 3 weeks in, when Adam Silver from Redbridge Football Club came on and said, "Have you seen this, Dave?" And this is something to have a look at every week. And so sort of almost every week now we have a look at it. And one of the questions I know Adam has said to me, "Do we ever manage to find someone to come on the show?" was to ask him how it is actually put together. And of course, that is the predicted tables. So, because we do have maybe we should, I don't know which way around you look at it. We do, sometimes we have a bit of a joke and a laugh with it when we look at it. Because, and I remember looking at the beginning of the season, I think we went into it after about week one, week two, and according to the predicted league table, it said that Thurrock were going to win the league without conceding a goal.
Yeah.
And I think it was... But they were only going to score something like about 30 goals and concede none. It was quite funny. And then the following week, they'd lost the game, and I can't think who they'd lost to. And when we pulled up the table, they were in the relegation zone. And it was really, really funny. So we always have a good look at it just to see where everybody's sort of situated in the league. And so you get to this sort of time of the season, and it seems to sort of like level itself off a little bit, shall we say.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Obviously, when you look at it at the start of the season, it's only got a couple of results to go on, and it's not clever enough to realise that the team that wins their first game isn't going to win all of them. But the way it works came from quite a long conversation I had in a pub with someone I work with. I work in a school, and I was talking to the head of maths, who is very much into football as well, and saying I wanted to come up with this predicted table. He's also he's into gambling on football. And so we had a very long conversation in the pub trying to work out exactly how to come up with essentially predicting the results of games from games that have gone before. It's obviously not brilliant. It does okay some of the times, but it's something that is very, very difficult to get right. And we did it as properly and mathematically as we could, but bearing in mind we were in the pub, so could probably be improved a bit.
I mean, no, it's one of those things, on a Saturday, I normally do the Tannoy stuff for Harlow on the home games, and I've always got that sort of app on there. I've got sort of three or four apps that I'm looking at all the time, but your one's the one that I've always got on all the time, for when the scores come through, because they seem to come through quicker on yours than they come through anywhere else, so that you sort of, you're looking at those, and... especially as the way the season's panning out at the moment, you're sort of looking at the Needham Market games and the Wroxham games and Averley and Thurrock and teams like that, you've got sort of the chairman to my right-hand side and the chief executive, and it's like, Needham are winning 2-0, you just get that thing through the whole of the crowd, and you can see all the crowd, to the right-hand side, which are the sort of older gentlemen, older fans, shall we say, in the club, and they've all got it on their phones. You can see them all looking at it, sort of, and then they switching from that into the Premier League and then back in. So, did it start off with just sort of like Premier League to start with, or was it? Is it increased as it's gone on?
No, I mean, I'd say I'm a Kingstonian fan, and what I wanted to do was to provide a service for both Premier League and non-league fans that was essentially the same, and it's. it's obviously much easier to get scores for Premier League games than it is for non-league games. And so, I mean, I added a service after a few years that allowed supporters to send in scores from their non-league sides' games. And it worked very well, but it was very hard to get volunteers who were going to do it regularly and who were reliable. And I can't even honestly remember how it turned out, but probably about 2 years ago now, Nick Robinson from the Ryman League got in touch, or maybe I got in touch with him, I can't remember, but we got together and discussed the idea of actually making it official. And that's why it is, I think, now very, very quick, because with the best one in the world, the clubs get fined if they don't do it. I think they like having it, and they like, as you say, being able to get the results, but it is now officially required by the league, so it obviously makes it that much easier to gather the scores.
Yeah, because I know myself, you know, you get to sort of certain stages and you get to certain clubs that are a bit slower putting them on than other clubs and stuff, you know, and I always sort of text in, you know, our secretary, you know, at Harlow, and if I'm at work and I can't get to the games, and he's thinking, come on, Mr. Secretary, hurry up and get them on. Why is it not on there? You know, I mean, it's not down to me today, it's down to the home team. And you think, oh, come on, hurry up, because you just want to see who's on there. And you know, I'm sort of hiding in a corner somewhere with my mobile phone in my hand, trying to have a look to see who's playing, and trying to take that information and putting it into apps that I do for myself, do you know what I mean? Just to, you know, to keep track of who's playing and who's not. And it's a fantastic service to have for, I think, for... Not only for the clubs, but also for any non-league fan that's out there that can't get to games or whatever else to actually see what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I'm actually really proud of it. I mean, I was at the K's game last night. We played Grays away, and obviously it was. I don't actually do it for Kingstonian; it's someone else does it. But obviously, Grays were doing it last night, and I mean, literally within 10 seconds of the final whistle going, I had a notification on my phone of the full-time score, and obviously I knew what the score was. But for those people who weren't there. As I said, I wanted to set out to provide a service that was as good for non-league sides as it is for the Premier League. And to be honest, for most clubs, I think that sort of thing probably is now. And I say I am really proud of it. And I suppose the one frustration that I have with it is that at the moment I can't get the other two leagues, the Northern League and Southern League, on board. I've had discussions with the Northern League, and they are. I think they might be interested, but they haven't yet taken that plunge, but I would really love to get all three of the leagues on board so that we can provide that service to fans of all any non-league club at this level.
Yeah, it's a shame that, you know, the leagues don't buy into it a lot more. When you think that, you know, maybe a little phone call through to maybe to Nick or to Alan and just say to him, look, how's it working for you in the, you know, in the Ryman leagues? Is it working well? Is it going well? And, you know, and I dare say Nick would go back and say it's going tremendously well, you know, that they don't actually sort of contact the Ryman League and then say, well, if it's going brilliant over there, maybe it's a great idea for us to actually get it on there. And in the end, it's promoting your league and getting those scores out there that teams will then, you know, people and teams will use and keep in contact with those leagues.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, it's very difficult to get reliable scores from some clubs. And this, as you say, would make it, I suppose it kind of raised the profile of the teams and the leagues, but I mean, I don't honestly know why they haven't yet, or why we haven't yet been able to make a decision. But I mean, Nick Robinson, I've got to say, has been fantastic. We obviously had an agreement of what we were going to do, but he has, in some ways, he has put an enormous amount of trust in Football Web Pages, because we kind of said, this is what we think it should do, this is what we think it. This is how we think it should work. And to be fair to him, he's just kind of let us get on with it. And every now and again, we make changes. And Kelly Discipline at the league office is the one I deal with most of all. I have to say, I'm really proud of it. And we do make changes every now and again, just try and improve it all of the time. But I'd say that's the one thing, that the other two leagues, that's what I really would love to get involved, so that, you know, I could go on the Northern League Roundup show and talk about how good it is.
I mean, it's one of those things, though, for me. I mean, I look, it's not just about the scores, though, is it? I mean, there's so much more information in there. And I mean, I'm just sitting there with it open while I'm talking to you, and, you know, I'm on the attendance. It's giving the average attendance. It's telling you the minimum attendance, the maximum attendance. You know, you've got progress, record sequences, you know, news and match grids and league tables. And there's so much on there for the, you know, the really enthusiastic and, you know, non-league supporter to be able to go on there and get so much information that otherwise they wouldn't be able to get.
No, that's absolutely right. And that's, you know, all the pages that you've mentioned there are the ones that, well, most of them, they were there, they've been on the site from the word go. I think when I set the site up originally, it was never with the intention of providing a live score service. I mean, I'd say it was 2001, so there wasn't, you know, you didn't have apps that sent you notifications to your phone, it didn't exist. And all of those things were things that I wanted to provide for the Kingstonian website that I ran, but I thought, what's the point of just spending the time to build it for K's? Let's build something that other people can benefit from as well. And so, yeah, obviously you can go onto the site, footballwebpages.co.uk, and look at it all. But also, if you run a club site, you can embed all of our stuff into your site. So you don't have to maintain a league table. You don't have to maintain a match grid page or an attendance page, whatever it is. You can just put a little line of code in and we'll do it for you, if you like.
Yeah, I mean, Nick's on the show. He's actually in the studio next week, so we'll talk to him. And I know even we were back and forth with some communication during the week to try and get email addresses and that for yourself. And he was saying, you know, he was nothing but even in the actual sort of messages of back and forth saying, you know, what you could read that, you know, in the text that he was sending me, that how much he thought of the actual site. And it's... is there anything in that site, though, that you would maybe want to add to it or take off of it that you don't think is working maybe very well, or stuff that you think you could add to it to make it?
There's always things that that I want to do. I mean, the next big project, if you like, is an Android app, because at the moment the app that we've got is for iOS, so for Apple. But I get a surprising number of emails from people saying, when are you going to do an Android app? So that's current, well, sort of starting to be in progress. The plan is for that to be available by the start of next season, if not before. But I think that's probably the main focus at the moment. But there's always things going on, little tweaks here and there. Like, I just got an email about half an hour ago from somebody. I don't know if you know, people can add YouTube clips to the matches, so you can... if someone's filmed the game, they can link it to the match on football web pages. And he emailed me to say, oh, well, this match got abandoned. We've got a video. I want to add the video, and I can't do it because it was abandoned. So there's always little tweaks going on here and there. But I say that the main development is going to be the Android app, so that people who own Android phones can get the notifications straight away, as well as the Apple people.
Yeah, I mean, I've just literally clicked onto like even records, and it's, you know, it's up there. It's like, you know, biggest victory, 8-0 for Wroxham, and 8-0 for Wroxham again, and, you know, high scorers, you know, game, high scoring game, 9 goals between Harlow and Dereham, top attendance at 473 the other week between Needham and Sudbury, and the lowest attendance 28 between Burnham and Barkingside. So it's just there's so much information there, and it's... and I don't know, I know it probably won't be on there, but there is a coincidence between those two 8-0 wins as well, which are the biggest victories in the North Division for Wroxham. And I'm not even sure if you know that, but on the two occasions they've actually won 8-0 was two weekends when it was Premiership free.
Right.
So on the two weekends that they were actually Premier League free because of England games, they won 8-0.
And I
had a text to find out from somebody from Wroxham asking me when the next time England are playing and it's Premiership free. And who are they playing? And they're actually playing Redbridge away. And I think it's sometime in March, I think it is. And they turned around and said it's a shame that it's not at home because it could be another 8-0 win. But it was just weird how they were sort of like two 8-0 wins on the bounce on the same sort of weekend on an international weekend off.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't know. But this is one of the funny things I find about running the site. People, because the site contains so much information and they know that I run it, they kind of think that I know everything that's on there. But obviously, I have absolutely no idea about most of it. I mean, you know, I've learned something there. So it is always funny. You get into those sort of conversations, but they're like, but your site told me that. How do you not know? And I don't know. It just does it, you know, gets on with it.
I mean, I think the one thing that I found on here the other week that really, and I found this off just literally by going in through the app, and I was reading it off my app, and was the form guide. And yeah, because normally you just get a form guide and it will just go win, win, loss, win, lost, or whatever else on it. And somebody was actually asking me, and a bit like yourself, I get quite a lot of tweets through email and stuff and saying, have you got the form table? Have you got this? Have you got that? Have you got this? And they seem to think that I've got all the information, which I haven't. And I have to search for it myself and then tweet it back to them. But, you know, I've just gone into the form guide and it gives you just so much more than that. You know, it's, you go into that. Brighton & Sea Regent, for instance, we've now started doing a team of the week. So we do a Ryman team of the week that 5 to 6 teams get nominated every week, and people nominate them. And basically, Brighton & Sea Regent have won it 2 weeks in a row, and they just won it by 9 votes. It was 1,000 votes between Chipstead and Brighton & Sea Regent today, and since Sunday. And there was only 9 votes in it, so there was 1,000 votes, but only 9 votes between the two of them. You know, and it changed hands 9 times in the last half an hour. But but you look at it, you can look at this and almost see the teams. You know, when you see the results in the table as they come in through, and although they might be in different places, and our secretary says it's going to be difficult going to that ground. It's going to be difficult going to that ground. Mm. You know, talking around sort of Needham and the teams that are sort of around Harlow, and you think, well, I don't know. But then when you go into your form table, you can physically see it. Brighton & Sea Regent, top of the tree, Tilbury and Tilbury in third. Now, you know, if you're looking at the league table, you would look at that and think, Tilbury in third? No, they would probably be down the bottom somewhere. Mm. But it is quite an interesting thing to pull up, to literally just to see, you know, that they are there. And even to the likes of Wroxham that were in third place around the Christmas time are now down in 22nd in the form table.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting stuff. And, you know, I use my own site myself as a Kingsonian fan. And, there is just so much there, I suppose. But all of it has to come from the scores on a match day. And so once you've got the score, there's, you know, no end to what you can do, really. But I think that's why it was so important to get the Ryman League on board and make it kind of official, so that then the data, if you like, is much more reliable. Because as soon as a score gets recorded incorrectly, then obviously everything that comes from it is going to be wrong as well. And so people will be looking at your form guide, your league tables, and it doesn't make any sense because it's just wrong. So that was why it was so good to get them on board.
Yeah. So, I mean, on your other side, Kingstonian, I mean, how has the season sort of gone for you this year with Kingstonian?
Well, I mean, it's a very interesting time to be a Kingstonian fan at the moment, as it nearly always is. I mean, on the field, we are, I think, pretty much exactly in the middle of the table, won as many as we've lost and that kind of thing. We started off quite well. I think we've had two little runs where we've actually done quite well, won a few games, not lost, but they've kind of papered over some cracks. I think the manager admitted that much last night, to be honest. But it's really the off-the-field stuff that is taking all the attention at the moment, because obviously there's loads of talk about what's going to happen to the ground and whether AS Wimbledon can get planning permission to move back to Plough Lane, which means that Chelsea are going to buy King's Meadow, which means that Kingstonian are then going to move out, and where are they going to go? So we're kind of back in limbo again, as we have been a few times over the last few years.
Well, that with the ground itself, with Chelsea, say, coming in to buy that, would that then mean that they would probably use that for their ladies team and reserve side?
Yeah, that's what we understand. It sounds like I honestly don't know why, but they want somewhere for the, I think they call it their development team, but the development team and the ladies to play. And reading between the lines, it sounds as though Chelsea don't want Kingstonian to still be at the ground, which is presumably why our board released a statement last week saying that Kingstonian's future will be better served away from King's Meadow, which I think shocked virtually every Kingstonian fan, because saying you voluntarily want to leave your home ground is a huge step.
So, I mean, if the worst came to the worst and you had to leave the ground, I mean, what would be the closest ground that you would be able to, if you're taking out the fans' feeling, shall we say, as well, out of it, and what would be the closest ground that you might be able to approach, shall we say, to be able to maybe ground share with?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there are some grounds around, but none of them are particularly appealing. I suppose the obvious ones would be Corinthian Casuals, Met Police, they're the main two, I suppose, Hampton and Richmond, Chessington Hook United, that'd be even worse. But, you know, at the moment, Kingstonian suffer because we don't have any way of generating income away from a match day. And if we went somewhere else to ground share, then it's, I would have thought it was quite likely that the same thing will happen. And, you know, we're not getting the crowds that are going to enable that to change. So that's why I think it would be such a huge step to go away from King's Meadow if the aim is to just do a ground share somewhere else. I hope that isn't the plan. I hope the plan is to try, whether you need to ground share as a step on the way to it, but Kingstonian need their own ground. There's no doubt about that. And there was a story in The Guardian a few days ago by David Conn that was saying that somehow, when this deal goes through, that Kingstonian will be looked after and they will receive somewhere in the region of £1 million, whether that's from Chelsea or AS Wimbledon, it wasn't clear. And he also then removed that £1 million from his article. But if that was part of the deal, then it might be possible for Cades to get their own ground and say that. I think that's really got to be the end game. Otherwise, I can only see a bleak future for the club.
And that to me is absolutely, you know, when you listen to that is absolutely awful when you think that, you know, we've lost, you know, clubs. And I mean, I did see it somewhere in the papers around the likes of Hereford that went out of business, that was less than less than half of a Premiership player's wages for a week, that they couldn't afford to put them out of business. And then we're talking about one of the biggest Premier League clubs in the country that's going to basically, you know, take over a ground where you've got a non-league team playing, you know, and not just any non-league team, but a non-league team with some amazing history as well, that they're going to turn around and turf them out, and it could cause, you know, catastrophe for the club. I mean,
absolutely.
Doesn't seem to be any thought process behind, oh, well, we're the big club, who cares about what non-league are?
No, that's absolutely right. But, you know, at the moment, we don't know what's going on. We don't know if Chelsea are saying, well, you know, screw Cades, or we don't know if they're saying, actually, we want the ground, we don't really want Kingstonian there, but we want to look after them. We have absolutely no idea which way it is. And of course, you've also got AS Wimbledon in the equation. When it was originally announced that the ground might go, Cades fans, I think, thought, well, AS Wimbledon are going to have to look after Cades because they, you know, they are whiter than white in most people's opinions. So they couldn't be seen to be turfing Cades out. But now our chairman have come out and said, we're happy to move away. It kind of, to my mind, it kind of removes the onus from AS Wimbledon to look after us. So, you know, we're just, as I said, we're just completely in limbo. We don't know what's going on. We don't know if AFC Wimbledon will get planning permission to move. If they do, we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen to Cades.
And that just, as you say, that doesn't help at all, does it? We've just the mental side of the game, I suppose, in a way, because you just don't know. I suppose the longer it goes on for, and if it starts coming up that is going to be the case, you're then going to, especially with it being in non-league football, and where are we going to be playing, where are we not going to be playing, it's then going to be difficult for you maybe then to get the players into the clubs to keep your position of where you are.
I think that's right. I mean, I think it's fair to say that at the moment, playing at King's Meadow, that is a definite bonus for us. It has to be easier to attract players because they get to play at, you know, a very nice ground on a very nice surface. As supporters, it's getting worse and worse playing at King's Meadow because of all the changes that AS Wimbledon have made. They're not in the best interest of non-league clubs. But that's going to become even more difficult if we don't know where we're going to be playing, if we might be playing at Casuals. Sorry, Casuals fans, but I hate that ground. You know, we're not going to be able to attract those sort of players because they just will have no certainty about where they're going to be based.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, it's not something that I've actually picked up myself. I heard about the AFC Wimbledon moving and it just sort of didn't even sort of click with me about yourself. So it just sounds absolutely dreadful for you at the moment.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we, for a long time there has been, I wouldn't say animosity, but there has been a feeling amongst Cades fans that perhaps AFC Wimbledon aren't quite as whiter than white as a lot of other supporters in the country think. And when you finally say to people that actually we might have to leave our ground now that AS Wimbledon have bought it, I think people kind of click that, yeah, they may not have intentionally harmed Kays, but it looks like the result of everything that's happened over the last few years with AS Wimbledon is going to have that effect.
Yeah, because if I remember rightly, I'm right in saying, because I know, I mean, I'm a season ticket holder myself at Arsenal Ladies, and I'm sure I'm right in saying that the Chelsea Ladies at the moment play at Staines FC. I'm sure they do.
I don't know. Chelsea Reserves used to play at King's Meadow, so I think that's where the links come from, but I don't know where they are at the moment.
But, I mean, the actual, on the pitch itself, at the minute, is it going to be a case of trying to turn round, looking at it, the waveform looks a little bit better than what the home form is?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's kind of a problem, if you like, because a lot of the people who only go to home games think it's a horrendous season, whereas actually those of us who go away think, oh, it's all right, like we are mid-table, and that's, I think, where we deserve to be. We haven't played all that well. It's the first season with Tommy Williams. He started the season with a squad that was similar to the one that did so well last year, but as the season goes on, obviously players are drifting off and going elsewhere. Some are going to join Alan Dowson at Hampton. So I think it's the season's pretty much done. If we can struggle and get fifth maybe, but I think it's got to be unlikely. So it's just going to be a season of mid-table drudgery, unfortunately.
Because I mean, sort of last question, because the time is running away from us, but I do look at the actual Ryman Premier, and as I said earlier on, there's some teams in there that are just absolutely huge sides, in the likes of yourselves, Enfield Town, Grays, Maidstone, Margate, and to name just a few, that you look at and think, what are they doing in the Ryman Prem? Because you wouldn't even expect to see teams of that stature with that sort of history and that sort of names behind them to even be in the same Conference South or Conference North. You'd expect to see them in sort of Conference stroke Division Two, that sort of area. And it's and then to have something like this happen as well, I'm speechless. I really am. I just can't believe it myself.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I wouldn't say Kays deserve to be in the Conference, but probably Conference South is about where we should be. We should be flitting between Ryman Prem and Conference South. But it, as you say, there are some big teams in the league, and it's that much harder to get out of it. This year, I would imagine Margate will probably win it, but even if they do, next year Maidstone will win it, and that's just the way it's going. Maidstone have got an incredible setup. Margate have got a load of money, and so to compete with that for a club, yeah, we've got a load of history, but we've got no way of generating income, and that's the main problem. Whereas other teams around have. They've got the history as well as the way of generating income to play the better players than we've got. And that's really what it comes down to, which is why the ground equation is so important.
I mean, I think on a biased note, I'd rather see Margate win it, because if we manage to get up ourselves, then it'd be nice to go to Maidstone.
it's a good trip. But the trouble is you'll lose on that pitch, because everyone does.
Oh, yeah, but we've got one of our own.
Ah, well, you're fine then.
Gary, it's been fantastic talking tonight, and it would be great if we can catch up again maybe in the next month or so as well, just to talk more on Kingstonian and maybe a little bit more on football web pages as well, if that's okay with you, just to have another little chat and see where that's actually going to as well with the Kingstonian situation.
Absolutely fine with me. If I find anything out, I'll be surprised in the next month. But I'd love to come on again. Thanks very much.
Magic, Gary, it's been fantastic talking to you tonight. It really has. And it's something that, we've been trying to find yourself for probably a little bit of time. So it's fantastic to have you on tonight. And a massive thank you for Football Web Pages, because I think every non-league football fan out there would be lost without it.
Thanks very much. All right. Cheers.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Gary.
Bye.
And that was Gary from Football Web Pages. That's fantastic. And it sort of took the wind out of myself a little bit, I think, today, to say around the Kingstonian situation. But we'll try and follow that up as much as we possibly can in the weeks and months to come. But that's the end of the show tonight. It's actually flown by again. And thank you for joining us again. And congratulations again to Brighton and Sea Region. Don't forget to nominate your side for Team of the Week, Week 8 next week. Make sure you nominate your team for that. Make sure you nominate it by 10 o'clock on Saturday evening. And the email address that you need, so if you've got pen and paper ready, it is Harlow
harlowtown007@gmail.com. That's harlowtown007@gmail.com. Email your nominations to there, and we will put them into the nominations for you. So make sure that you do that. And we look forward to seeing you next week when we've got the boss himself here next week. We have got the one and only Mr. Nick Robinson will be with us this time next week. So until then, keep yourself safe, enjoy your football, and we'll leave you with Katy Perry.